You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, November 5th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. We're live from Lake Wissota and catching you wherever you're spending your mornings, listening all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Or if not on the radio, then by podcast or on the app or watching us on social media. It's great that you're here. We really appreciate it. I got a question for you. Were the election results from last night a surprise to anyone? They shouldn't have been. The history is clear on how elections have gone in the Donald Trump era when it's not Donald Trump on the ballot running against a woman. And that's it. Every other election in the Trump era has not gone well for people who don't turn out to vote for Donald Trump unless he's on the ballot running against a woman. We will talk more about the election results in all the various states and how we might be seeing a rather noteworthy passing of the torch among American voters. I will have some results and a little analysis coming up in just a little bit, so stick around for that. But of course, we want to let you know that we'd love to hear from you as well. And you can do that by ringing us up at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And of course, you can always put something on social media. You can head to the Up North News YouTube page or Facebook page. You can head to the Civic Media Facebook page or YouTube page and put something in the comment section there, and we'd be happy to address it. Or you can use that Civic Media app to call us, text us, or leave us a voice note along the way. Coming up, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan at 7:35 for our monthly check-in with the congressman. He will no doubt have some things to say about the election results and what it means for the government shutdown. Might this be a case of voters breaking the logjam and sending a message to Republicans to show up at work and do your job? They're not doing that right now. Congressman Derek Van Orden, for example, on what is this now, his fifth week of paid vacation, is in the district and he's saying all the same old stuff, and it's not working. It didn't work with voters in all these states last night. It's not working if you look at the public opinion polls. In fact, he's so not interested in doing his job that he engaged in some micromanagement as if he were a local elected official when he was talking in La Crosse yesterday about an issue involving the Salvation Army and zoning matters. That's not something the congressman needs to worry about. But contained in there was this little tidbit when he was talking about the La Crosse City Council, but he was really kind of telling on himself as well. Parker, give that a play.
You can't say that you're trying to help people and then not actually try to help them.
Got that right, Congressman. We're going to keep that one and tuck it away because things are still real quiet in D.C., but the election results might have pushed things in a different direction. The aforementioned Parker Olson is down in Madison Studio A2 following things for us. What is that, a Brewers t-shirt? There it is. Okay, yeah.
It's the Barrel Man.
Okay, so I was going to ask if you're feeling well. You're under the weather the past few days. Clearly not if you're wearing... You know, you're wearing baseball shirts out of season. That's like wearing white after Labor Day.
Well,
what's that about?
Oh, Pat, it's the time of year where you're kind of, some people might be milling about, still kind of upset about how the year went.
Yeah.
And that is us. That is truly us. However, Pat, you have to show we still support. We still are proud Brewer fans. And dang it, this is a cool logo. Look at the Barrel Man logo. It's cool. Come on.
It's also the cleanest t-shirt that was on top of the pile when Parker was getting dressed at 3 this morning.
Well, that too.
But you're here. That might have played a role as well. But
yeah,
so Parker is here. We have the congressman coming in, of course. We'll have Dr. Kelly Snooks joining us at 8:35 this morning, a pediatrician, and we're going to talk about measles outbreaks. Pardon me for a moment while I sigh. Why are we talking about measles outbreaks in the year 2025? Because as part of the spillover effect from the pandemic, we have a wave of vaccine denialism that is literally making kids sick and is actually killing some kids. And this is sad, but it's also ridiculous. It's so unnecessary. And Dr. Kelly Snooks will be joining us to talk more about the vaccine that can prevent measles, and then also the signs and symptoms to look for, because there have been outbreaks in Wisconsin and around the country. So if you've got a kiddo and they're not vaccinated, you at least need to know what to look for and be able to get them medical attention sooner rather than later. We'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff. She's got her climate check. Bill Gates, you know, who's been all big about sounding the alarm on climate change, put out a memo last week, a paper or something, where he appeared to be backing off to a degree. Or was he? What's that about? We'll talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check about that. Earl Ingram will be joining us as well. And look, if you can't stick around for all of this, we have ways to deal with that. You can listen to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple and follow us that way. And that way, you're never going to miss an interview. You're never going to miss a moment of the things that we're talking about. And that includes our private message to one of our favorite listeners, Tony up in Ashland, who writes on YouTube all the time and has lately been hectoring us for not starting the feed right at 6 a.m. So we kind of caught him today and started the feed. We started the feed at 5:59. Don't tell anybody, but we did it. And he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
And he didn't now he sent out saying it was election night, so he was up late. So we'll give him that. But
yeah, okay. But we were too.
We pay attention to our regulars, like Roger and Stevens Point, who puts on Facebook. Most of the major elections last night weren't even close. They were decided before the 10 o'clock news. That's true. And so we're going to get into that in just a second here. I think the only sports note I heard Mike Clemens say was that the Bucks lost, and it wasn't even close in Toronto, 128-100.
Yeah,
we won't be dwelling on that nearly as much as we were, you know, the other day when it was a Giannis buzzer beater that won it.
No, you like to highlight the good usually.
Yes, exactly. Exactly what we do. So let's get into a little bit about the election results, because there's a lot to talk about. And then I'll give you my spin on how it all went. But I'm saving New York City for a little later. I mean, everybody knows Zoran Mamdani won. I was so proud of myself. I hadn't mispronounced his name till now. Anyway, in New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat, was elected as governor. Virginia had a blue wave. I don't even know if blue wave is the way to put it. Cassandra puts on YouTube right now, blue tsunami. In Virginia, not only did Abigail Spanberger win the governor's race, but every county in Virginia, and Virginia is largely red in many places, except up in Northern Virginia. Every county shifted blue yesterday. In California, Proposition 50 passed. That was the redistricting initiative that was meant to offset what is happening in Texas with Republicans and Donald Trump rigging the maps. Unfortunately, in other states now, Republicans have once again proven they are willing to disrespect the voters and the Constitution and democratic norms, and again, try to rig their own congressional maps. But California voters did their part. There were two different questions in Maine that were interesting to see. Voters there approved red flag laws. Red flag laws are something supported by 70, 80, upwards of 90% of people when you poll them almost anywhere. It's a gun safety measure that says that if you feel somebody is a danger to themselves or others, you can ask a judge to hold a hearing, hear the evidence, and then make a determination as to whether that person's guns should be taken away temporarily until, once again, the conditions are settled, whatever that might be. It might be most usually some kind of mental health care. And opponents in the gun industry love to say, oh, it's all about the government seizing guns, to which a lot of neighbors of shootings would say, yeah, that's what it's there for, a safeguard. We shouldn't just be willy-nilly handing out guns to everybody and saying, do what you will, kids. So in Maine, red flag laws were passed by voters yesterday, and they are seriously overdue here in Wisconsin. Voters in Maine also rejected a measure that would have led to several points of voter obstruction. All of the, you know, voter ID and other matters that are not necessary, are not borne out by any evidence. But oh, talk about voter obstruction methods that are not borne out by the evidence. I've got a little piece of audio for you to hear. What you're about to hear is a clip from Sheboygan Falls area Republican Assembly Rep Lindy Brill. Republicans have formally introduced their bill that would ban absentee ballot drop boxes, despite no evidence of any kind of tampering or insecurities that would lead people to think that absentee ballot drop boxes weren't anything but what they are, an extremely safe, reliant, convenient alternative for people who can legally cast their votes. And yet, Lindy Brill was among the Republicans saying, well, Donald Trump wants to get rid of them, and so we're going to, because there's too much funny business going on. To which Lee Snodgrass, Fox Valley Assembly Democrat, pointed out an Associated Press survey around the country showing that there's just no evidence that absentee ballot drop boxes aren't safe. And Lindy Brill was having none of it. Give a listen. You might have to adjust your tinfoil hat first before you hear this clip.
Could you tell me your source on the 2020 municipalities that claimed that there were no
Brill.
Fraud?
It's an Associated Press survey. You can
it's
find
a snot
it.
Grats.
I don't have my computer
well, then,
in front of me.
Then I don't know that I consider that a valid source.
Associated Press?
Yeah, I don't always see everything from the Associated Press being absolutely valid. But that might be where you and I find truth in different spots. This might be where we're finding facts in different locations, Representative Snodgrass.
I think that the issue is that I am basing my concern on this bill with the facts is that incidences of tampering of absentee ballot drop boxes is very minimal.
Based on the Associated Press.
Based on many things. I'm happy to provide you with a lot of sources after this.
I'm answering your question that you provided just now.
Great.
And then I would just like to say at the end of everything, I'd like to thank our president for leading the charge on this. He was the one who introduced this in the first place, and I'm thankful that I got to introduce in Wisconsin alongside him. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to talk about it, because this is true election reform that our state needs.
I think that says everything.
It does, Lee Snodgrass. That says everything. That a Republican who would take the time to kiss the ring of dear leader, who is bringing up again no evidence behind the accusations that they're making, and Lindy Brill is trying to get anybody else to prove a negative. The burden's on you, as it has been since 2020. Where's the evidence? And he ain't got nothing except my guy Donald Trump says so. And we saw what voters had to say about Donald Trump's credibility yesterday. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wasota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Nice to have you back at just about 6:23 on this Wednesday morning, November 5th. Remember, you can follow us at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. You can follow our newsletters by clicking subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage. In the newsletter today from Ellie Bordeaux, she talks about the comments from Doc Rivers, coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, speaking out against the cutoff of SNAP food benefits for people, you know, throughout the country. There's a story about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The 50th anniversary is coming up next Monday. And so next Monday, we will replay our interview with Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson, who has written a new book about the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald that I highly recommend. And if you missed our conversation back in August, you'll want to tune in for that. And again, read more about it in our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. We also have a weekend newsletter where we ask a question of the week. And this week, it's about the economic outlook over the next 12 months. And we want to know if you think things are slowly getting better, going to stay the same, or going to get worse. Again, upnorthnewswi.com is the place to go for that. All right, more about the election results from yesterday, where we talked about the wins in New Jersey, Virginia, California, Maine. I mean, we've got folks everywhere, and we appreciate every one of them. Here's John saying, good morning from Colorado. We passed propositions double L and double M. Feed the kids. John, I'm going to admit I was following a lot of races yesterday, and I was not familiar with this, and I looked it up, and sure enough, Colorado voters have passed two ballot measures that would fund free meals for all public school students and give raises or stipends to cafeteria workers and provide grants to schools to purchase fresh ingredients from local farms. Could you please make some kind of Republican or conservative case against feeding the kids and helping local farmers provide fresh ingredients to our school cafeterias and making sure our cafeteria workers are paid a living wage? Good job, Colorado voters. Let's get that to spread. In Pennsylvania, all five Democratic state Supreme Court justices were up for re-election, and they will hold their 5-2 majority after sweeping last night's results. The campaign against these Pennsylvania justices was almost entirely funded by one billionaire and some corporations and political action committees, but one billionaire who became kind of a centerpiece of the campaign. It led to groups dedicated to helping voters understand that one billionaire shouldn't have that kind of power, kind of like what Wisconsin voters did to Elon Musk in the last state Supreme Court election. But I'm thinking this is something in Pennsylvania we should examine and maybe emulate in Wisconsin next year and beyond when it comes to certain Wisconsin-based billionaires who have enough money to tip the balance in our elections. In New York City, Zohran Mamdani won. He didn't just win. Listen to this. He was the first candidate since John Lindsay in 1969 to win more than a million votes in a New York City mayoral election. Now, like some legislators here in Wisconsin and a growing number of progressives nationwide, they have a label, Democratic Socialist. That label is used by other political parties around the world, and of course, conservatives are losing their minds over it. But the thing to remember is that Democratic Socialist is not the same as socialism any more than conservative is about conserving anything. When was the last time a conservative embraced conservation, for example? Conservative commentators and commenters on social media said things like, we have two generations in this country, millennials and Gen Z, who've been brainwashed into thinking socialism works. It would be nice if we had an actual conservative in the White House like Reagan to represent the opposite. No. What you are seeing now is that two generations made up of many baby boomers and way too many of my Gen X generation, they're the ones who've been brainwashed for more than 40 years thinking that Reaganism actually works or might work someday. All you got to do is slash taxes for the rich and then blame Democrats for the deficits, even though so-called fiscal conservatives are the ones who've been driving deficits higher and higher every time they get into power through their tax cuts for the rich and not investing in actual job creation, the thing that creates tax revenue. Don't miss the big point here. Donald Trump is not the anti-Reagan. He is the fulfillment of the dream of Reaganism, a blend of corporate power acquired by diverting attention to blaming various groups of people, immigrants, people of color, LGBTQ, unions, the college educated, and lower income families who've had their economic opportunities kicked out from under them. by a group of people who have kept the minimum wage locked in place for decades. They have eroded worker protections. They have shipped jobs overseas. And now they're trying to make you pay for that by slapping tariffs on the imported goods that you want to buy. And so politicians like Mom Donnie come along and actually talk about affordability, which is a good thing because it's coming just as the guy who has shut down government, cut off food aid for children, and jacked up health insurance costs is having glittering ballroom parties and taking a wrecking ball to the White House and getting enriched by people from the same companies that have faced court actions for screwing over consumers and workers. It's not a good look. And Donald Trump and Derek Van Orden and all the rest, they couldn't care less that people are facing tough times. They have power, and they and their corporate buddies believe that their power will create a better country for themselves, and then they'll take care of the little people as long as they don't make too much of a fuss and take whatever crumbs they're given. And voters are getting wise to this. Free bus fares aren't going to cripple New York City. It's going to make the workforce more reliable. Affordable education isn't going to break the bank. It's going to create a new wave of workers who are the creators of the future. Healthcare for everyone isn't going to bankrupt America. That's already happening with massive tax breaks going to the upper crust. We've seen time and time again, the money is out there to afford these things. It's a choice not to provide them. Voters have decided enough of this and that it is time to fight back for the things that are most important to them. And I hope we see that in Wisconsin next year. The phrase Elvis has left the building actually has an origin story and is part of your history lesson for November 5th. Coming up after this, I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. This was the number one song this day in 1988. The Beach Boys had not had a number one hit since 1966. And 22 years later, the Beach Boys, but without Brian Wilson, wrote and performed Kokomo for the Tom Cruise movie Cocktail. And it was a number one hit. 37 years ago today. Welcome to today's history lesson for this November 5th. This has got to be, it's a no-brainer that Parker has never seen Cocktail, and I promise you, I will not put it on your list of things that you have to watch.
Oh, good. Thank you. It's getting a long list. It's hard to manage at this point.
Yeah, it's not a horrible movie, but it's again, like many movies, it's the song or the soundtrack from it you remember more so than the movie itself.
And it's not enjoyably bad, because there are movies that are bad that you want to watch. That is a section on my list of movies to watch. Is the movies are a little, but like
any
they're
examples?
Funny. Oh God, what's it called? Snow Beast. I don't remember what that's from or how old that is. I want to say like 70s or 80s, and it is an absolutely horrendous horror film about about a Yeti.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like about like a Yeti like terrorizing a ski resort or something, and it is absolutely horrible production quality. It was a great watch that I had to do for a class one time.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to believe you. I'm not going to add that one to my list either.
Good call.
Let's see. So I mentioned the Beach Boys hadn't had a number one hit since 1966. Let's go back to 1966, where this week in that year, the number one hit was by the Monkees. On this day in 1872, in defiance of the law, suffragist Susan B. Anthony went to vote for the first time and would be fined $100, which was no small chunk of change back in 1872. Let's see. On this day in 1971, Elton John released an album, his fourth album, Madman Across the Water. A couple of songs you remember from that are Leave On and Tiny Dancer. Was it on Friends where Joey was making the joke that he thought the lyric here was Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza? Anyway, Tiny Dancer and LeVon were part of Madman Across the Water, released this day in 1971. On that very same day, this day, November 5th, 1971, Elvis Presley performed at the old Met Center in Bloomington. It was right next to Met Stadium there. And after Elvis was all done, at some point, the crowd was still around hoping to see Elvis afterwards. And the PA announcer, Al DeVorin, had to tell the crowd, Elvis has left the building. The phrase soon entered the cultural lexicon used to signal that an event is truly over.
I don't think I'd ever heard that before, to be honest with you.
You know, again, it's one of those things that I think at some generational line, you know, you just don't hear it as much. But my generation, like, oh, Elvis has left the building. Okay, we're done. We get it. We're over. All right. Happy birthday to Art Garfunkel, half of Simon and Garfunkel, who turns 84 years old today. And friends just can't be found like a bridge over troubled water. This is also the anniversary of the birth of Graham Parsons from the Byrds, who passed away in 1973. And then there's Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits. He is 78 years old today. Something tells me I'm into something good. Something tells me I'm into something. Again, if anybody asks you for a definition of bubblegum rock, just point them to Herman's Hermits. Kris Jenner, the matriarch of the Kardashians, is 70 years old today. Let's see, what else we've got here? Oh, Bryan Adams. He is 66 years old today. I got my first real six string, bought it at the five and dime, played it till my fingers bled, was the summer of 69. So needless to say, we need this guy to stick around for at least three more years because we need him to sing Summer of 69 so it can be summer that he turned 69. I mean,
wow.
It's the little thing.
You know, I would appreciate what? That. I would appreciate
actress,
that.
Actress Tatum O'Neill is 61. That's going to make some people feel really old. The former child actress Tatum O'Neill is now 60. I'm sorry, I didn't do the math right on that. 62 years old today.
Oh,
actor Sam Rockwell is 57 years old today. That Sam Rockwell, when you use the word versatile, talking about an actor, I mean, he can play anything.
Yeah.
And yet he's not a great big megastar, but, you know, Even I, as a casual movie watcher, can appreciate his range. It's really something. Another birthday today. Happy 68th birthday to Mike Score from A Flock of Seagulls.
I'm sorry, I can't find it.
Where'd oh, no. What happened to A Flock of Seagulls? Oh, you know what? The song is I Ran So Far Away.
Oh, here we go. So I just had to catch song. It. Hang on.
Tune right there from A Flock of Seagulls. Kevin Jonas, oldest of the Jonas Brothers, turns 38 years old today. On this day in 2002, Justin Timberlake kind of had his like coming out party. He released his debut solo album, post NSYNC, and it debuted and peaked at number 2 on the album charts. One of the singles, Cry Me a River, was on there as well. He got 4 Grammy Award nominations, including nominated for Album of the Year, and won the Grammy for Best Pop Vocal Album. On this day in 2003, Jimmy Buffett won his first CMA, Country Music Association Award, with It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere. That was his duet with Alan Jackson. It was named Vocal Event of the Year. And yeah, I get that it was 22 years ago now, but I will say it was super cool when that song first came out, to hear Jimmy Buffett on a song that was actually charting with Alan Jackson, who was a big country star at the time as well, had really come into his own. On this day in 2022, 3 years ago, thanks to huge streaming numbers, Taylor Swift had all 10 spots on the Billboard Hot 100 with songs from her Midnights album. Antihero was the number one song in 2022. She became the first artist to have all 10. Been duplicated since, thanks to streaming.
Okay. I was going to say, that seems like a ridiculous feat that should not be ever happening. I know that we love Taylor Swift, but that's a lot of Taylor Swift.
Well, and it, again, there's such a difference between streaming, like, oh, I'm just going to click on all these, compared to going to a record store, getting the record or the cassette or the CD or whatever. You know, there was what the economists like to call friction. You had to actually go do something to get something. But when it's easy enough to just click a button and download it, it's pretty easy to put all 10 songs from an album at the top of the singles chart.
True. So,
It should be based more on like radio airplay and things like that. But it's an algorithm that I'm not here to try to figure out for you.
I feel like there's a lot of gatekeeping though if you do it the radio way in comparison to like streaming it.
Yes. Yeah. I completely agree with that.
Oh boy.
Tony puts up on YouTube, and then the Swifties came for Parker. Then they came for Pat. No, we're not talking down Tay-Tay at all. We're just saying it's a different world now when it comes to occupying all the spots on the Billboard singles chart. All right, what do we got here for holidays today? I know that I think it was it Roger that wanted to suggest here that he noted it's Peter Noonan from Herman's Hermit's 78th birthday. He also says it's National Donut Day. Although, again, that's one of those, I feel like there's like four or five of them on the calendar someplace. What else have we got?
I did not have National Donut Day on my calendar, but it should be on my calendar every day, to be honest with you.
Exactly, yes.
It is American Football Day.
American Football Day?
American Football Day. Not Canadian football, not Australian no. football. American football.
Although I will say, Australian rules football, I watched a lot of that in early 80s when ESPN first came on the air, and they had no contracts with like the NFL or anything like that. It was like in Dodgeball, the movie, they joke about ESPN 8, the Ocho.
And all of
the obscure sports.
I love
that. That's what original ESPN used to be, is you never knew what you were going to see on there next, you know, because they had Sports Center to show the highlights of the major games, but then all the other filler. So Australian rules football was on a lot, and we'd watch that in college and thought that was unique, shall we say. I would not recommending it for here, but I see now why people would appreciate American Football Day, which I guess we have here. What else we got?
We have also got Bonfire Night. I feel like this is a little late in the year for that.
No, the fire conditions are still such. No Bonfire Night here in Wisconsin tonight. So whatever it might be anywhere else, this would not be the night for it.
Also,
what else we got?
It is National Redhead Day, as well as National Love Your Red Hair Day.
Okay. And yet, playing into type, and I'm totally playing into stereotypes here.
Uh-oh.
What's the other day today?
It's Stress Awareness Day.
Stress Awareness Day. And again, those poor fiery redheads, they get a reputation, and I can totally hear people going, oh, well, that makes sense. Stress Awareness Day would be the same day. No. We love all the redheads and everything that makes you so colorful inside as well as out. Wow. So. Let's look at some of the other news that you're following here. And I'm especially interested here in the Tom Brady story, what Tom Brady has just done.
Oh, God. Yes. Tom Brady, he cloned his dog, Pat.
He cloned his dead dog and now has another dog, with like the same DNA, essentially.
It is a clone of his previous dog. He had it. Is made the right term?
Yeah, I guess made is the right term. Yes.
He had his current dog made out of his previous dog by a company called Colossal Biosciences, which is a biotech company that he's an investor in.
Oh, he's an investor in a biotech company.
Yes.
And had them clone his dead dog for a new one. Here's the thing. Okay. Divorced dads will do a lot to try to impress their kids. You know, the whole two Christmases thing.
Yeah.
This one might have gone a little too far. I'm guessing. I'm thinking the kids were like, "Dad, no, don't clone the dog." I could be wrong. Maybe they're like, "Oh, hey, Fluffy is back." So it wasn't Fluffy though, was it? Lua.
Clone the dog.
Dad, don't clone the dog. It's the most Tom Brady thing you could possibly hear. But again, if you got that kind of money to, you know, and it was a pit bull. That's the thing. It was a pit bull mix that he cloned. I think we can all agree, as we go to break here, there's only one pit bull that ever deserves to be cloned. And we're going to play it here and then be back. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Baby, clone baby, that pit bull.
Fire it all.
There we go. Congressman Mark Pocan on the way in our next hour as well.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, did you know at Up North News we have a new video series with pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks? It's called Raising Wisconsin, and it is chock full of good health advice for parents and how best to take care of their kiddos. And so you can look for that on our Up North News social media sites. And you can catch Dr. Kelly Snooks later this morning. She'll be joining me at about 8:35, and we will be talking about measles outbreaks in Wisconsin and in other states, things that are entirely preventable, and some advice on getting that done. And also for kids who might be unvaccinated, signs and symptoms to look for in a potential measles outbreak. So again, Dr. Kelly Snooks coming up at 8:35. Parker's got some of the other entertaining stories that catch his eye as he puts his feet up on the desk and pages through all the various newspapers that come into Civic Media. I honestly don't know if there's a single newspaper there in Civic Media. When was the last time you actually opened a newspaper and got ink on your fingers?
Not that long ago.
Okay.
Because I was the editor-in-chief at our newspaper in Whitewater, so.
Oh, the college newspaper. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Well, all right.
I've got what that. You got? Badger football, Pat.
Yes.
Leads the country in alcohol sales.
You don't say.
By a lot.
Yeah. Why don't you just tell me water is wet?
Matt Brown is a journalist. I think he's with like CBS. And he got the numbers from only 21 college football programs. So not all of them. It's an incomplete list. But right.
You know what? I think we're okay.
Over August and September, the Badgers have sold over $3 million worth of drinks. The next closest has a little over $2 million.
That was Nebraska, which and then Tennessee was the only other school that had even half as much alcohol sold as the Badgers. We have a culture here.
We do. And this is also with a decline in the number of fans at games and people leaving early from games. So.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Imagine if we were
Let's see. And people in Minnesota, I'm sure, are going, "Hey, what about us?" Well, you are number six on the list with total alcohol revenue of about $1 million compared to $3 million at UW-Madison. Michigan, Indiana, they're on there as well. I'm surprised to see West Virginia and Kentucky. I would have thought that, you know, you could just bring your own moonshine to the games and wouldn't have to buy anything there.
Yeah,
that's could be. So, congratulations, Wisconsin Badger football fans. Although this year, again, in jest, if there's ever a season that's going to make you want to drink more, it's this year. Yep. All right, what else?
We've also got little tennis news, Pat. I don't know if you're familiar with the Battle of the Sexes. This is a thing that has happened a couple of times in tennis. They take a women's and a men's player. against each other.
Nick
Kyrgios and Arina Sabalenka are going to be playing in Dubai in late December this year. I saw a headline about this the other day that really bothered me. Because I think it was from The Athletic saying that Sabalenka is the world number one for the women's and that Nick Kyrgios is the world number 652 in the men.
Okay.
That is ridiculously misleading because Nick Kyrgios is like a top three player in the world. It's just that he doesn't usually care. So
he doesn't care. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Look, the tennis battle of the sexes, of course, dates back to the original. And that, of course, was Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King. And it was a cultural milestone at the time, of course, when it took place, because you never saw that. You never saw men playing against women. Men said women could never, no matter what the conditions. And Bobby Riggs was a very accomplished tennis player of his era in the 60s. And he said that if he could beat any woman. Well, Billie Jean King was coming up on the scene. Billie Jean King was 29. Bobby Riggs was 55. So again, you've got that difference in the rankings there. And Billie Jean King just pasted Bobby Riggs. And keep in mind, this was, nowadays it's kind of cute. Back then, this was a very serious thing. Bobby Riggs was one of those, he loved the title male chauvinist, and that, you know, women could never be equal to men. And so that win at the Astrodome, I remember the buildup on TV and everything else before they ended up playing this game in 1973. I was 9 years old at the time. And so now to do it, it's a nice little event, you know, but, and I'm not saying it's not going to be worth watching. I'm not going to say it's not competitive. I'm just saying the very first one was a very big deal.
Sure. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what this is like. Cause like I said, when Kyrgios cares, he's ridiculously good. When he's not.
That's what I think we need to see that then. Tony notes appropriately. Yes, Bobby Riggs was MAGA before MAGA.
Oh God.
Yeah. Absolutely. While we're doing sports, I see that Jose Quintana and Rhys Hoskins are headed to free agency after the Brewers declined their mutual options on Tuesday. So I don't know that we're going to get to keep either one of them. Might be a Via Con Dios case right here.
Yeah, and it looks like Woodruff is out the door too.
Brandon Woodruff is probably out the door. William Contreras is going to hang around, even though the club did not exercise the option, but he might only be around for one more year as well.
Another year or two, I think that'll be going to arbitration. Yeah.
Yes. And I think it would be great if he does stay. It would be great if they all stayed. But you know, I was questioning the Brandon Woodruff re-signing 2 years ago. You know, he went out with an injury. We knew he was going to miss the whole 2024 season, but let's make the investment. He is our future. And now he's hurt again. So that was a lot of money paid for very few games. And sometimes you got to play the market, and the Brewers have not been bad at this.
No. Yeah. I think it was worth doing.
Yeah. So we'll see who comes on the roster there, but there's a couple of names that you might not be hearing about and might not see them in Brewers uniforms in the future. Bucks lost big in Toronto, 128-100. They play the Bulls at home come Friday. In our next hour, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan about the shutdown showdown and whether last night's election results might nudge Republicans along toward, you know, making sense. We'll be back. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.